What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we get to our guest here, I have to mention this. Yeah, this thing over at the Capital Gazette is starting to feel like a psyop, because only just yesterday, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been under serious criticism lately, came on out with an article about how Milo Yiannopoulos is telling reporters he hopes angry conservatives start assassinating them. And the SPLC is saying the alt-right 1488ers love the idea. So, yeah, this is starting to feel like it's another psyop. Anyway, joining us on the phone right now is Kenneth Amadouri. And, Kenneth, thank you for spending time with us today. And why don't you start off by briefly telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the topic of discussion for today.
Hello, Mike, and hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on. I am the host of the Crush the Street podcast. I started Crush the Street about 8 years ago, really trying to educate people and getting people out in front of the trends. And the beautiful thing about the internet is that it really leveled the playing field when it came to media. And that's this decentralized nature of media and information. It really took it out of the hands of the mainstream in so many ways. And I'm fortunate, I'm very grateful, even for something like YouTube. As much as, you know, we complain about the censorship and the things that are going on with YouTube and Google, it was the step in the right direction. And the internet has obviously infinite amounts of opportunities to get information out there. And I'm very grateful for that. We spend our time educating people on trends, on sound money. We've covered cryptocurrency largely for the last while here, getting people in early. And now we're switching our focus, really covering artificial intelligence. And I believe this is going to be a big trend going forward here.
Well, let's get our definitions down here, because if you're my age, when you think of artificial intelligence, you tend to think of HAL 9000 in 2001, A Space Odyssey, or Vicky in iRobot, or of that ilk. But basically, there's a new term that covers the idea of a sentient self-aware system, and that's artificial general intelligence. And as I understand it, artificial intelligence now has been sort of redefined to refer to any program that is capable of self-learning and self-modification, even though it is not self-aware or sentient by any measure that we would look at, where there are now artificially intelligent systems that might not pass the Turing test.
Yeah, you know, and it's all about the development of it. Technology is just advancing. We're going faster than Moore's law. And if you're familiar with that, the chips, the transistors getting down to the atomic level. And then right when you thought physics couldn't go any further, you have quantum physics, and you go beyond that. And now there's this like infinite amount of technological advancements that can happen now. And again, going back to the internet is this historical ledger of all human knowledge, you know, from the beginnings of time. And humans have the ability to tap into this knowledge, you know, with a cheap internet connection or pulling up to your local McDonald's, you can access the internet. But can you readily take in all this information, comprehend it, infer, and make decisions on it? And that's where artificial intelligence is going, is you're having these machines that are capable of, you know, essentially infinite amounts of potential. You know, we don't even know what we don't know, and able to do so on the internet, constantly updating. And I mean, there's so many things that, you know, technology is signaling for. And I think the real implication for people, especially when it comes to finances and money, is it's going to be a major disruptor for jobs, a major disruptor for careers, people who aren't ready for it. And that's one of the things that I'm passionate about is getting people aware, because it's happening so fast. And I think people are going to underestimate how quickly changes are going to happen in artificial intelligence and what to even expect.
Well, I mean, you're certainly right about the technology leaping ahead. I mean, I'm 65, about to turn 66. I'm sitting here with an iPhone and an iWatch and all this computer equipment around here. When I was a kid, I would have never even dreamed that any of this was possible. Maybe I appreciate it more because I remember a time when it wasn't just everywhere. And a lot of younger people just sort of take it for granted. It's just the way the world has always been, like my generation took for granted airplanes and cars.
Let me jump in right there. I mean, it's just such a powerful thing, just an example of how these artificial intelligence machines, these robots, they're becoming more like humans. And to the extent to which that is happening and will happen is unknown. But maybe you're familiar with Google's AlphaGo, and it beating the world's best Go player. You know, in this game is, you know, similar to chess or checkers, but there's an infinite, or there's as many combinations for moves as there are atoms in the earth. So you can't pre-program.
It's a very, very difficult and tricky game. And a lot of people would say it's actually more difficult than chess.
There's more combinations than there are atoms on the earth. And if you remember chess, the chess master, or, you know, playing checkers on the computer back in the 1990s, that game was pre-programmed, every single move. They were unable to pre-program the machine that played against the world's smartest player. But what they did was they started off with a blank slate that was able to learn like a human brain and update and get smarter and smarter and smarter. They had it play itself like 10 million times, and it advanced beyond the human brain. And so the implications of artificial intelligence is that they're not going to be doing menial jobs as they did maybe years ago. They're going to be going into high-level jobs, analyst-type jobs, and gathering data, gathering information for us. I mean, even the Alexas now, you know, these are personal assistants in our house spying on us, right? But
yes.
How much data can they collect on us, you know? They know when we're going to the bathroom, when we're leaving, what the temperature is outside. They can essentially predict everything that we're doing, and, you know, for convenience and, I guess, quote unquote, luxury, anticipate those things and make our lives more efficient, but at the sacrifice of privacy, of our personal privacy.
I think that's a concern for a lot of people, is the privacy issue. We had a couple of stories in our show today about how Facebook is now working on a system to literally record you in your home on your smart device while you're watching TV commercials, so that the advertisers can better evaluate how the commercials are working on you. And I understand the motive for that, because I used to work in advertising many years ago. But to me, that is a little bit intrusive. But again, the younger generation seems to be handling the loss of personal privacy a lot better. They're just sort of accepting it as, this is just the way the world is. You watch your TV is watching you, forgetting the implications of that from George Orwell's 1984. We know the technology is going to be moving on forward, but you raise an interesting point that rather than be the assistance to humans, these AI systems are going to perform so much better than humans that we humans are going to wind up working for them, you know, replacing cards and making sure the cables are plugged in tight.
Yeah, you know, I think it's I think that's the way technology is going to go. It's signaling this, and it's a slow progression. You know, and there's going to be positives and negatives, and we're already seeing it. I mean, the medical industry, they're going to start using AI to predict people's health, chipping people and monitoring their heart and their brains and knowing whether or not there's a problem. So, for many people, the surrender of that privacy might actually be very welcome, the thought of dying, and preventing.
Yes.
That might be an actually a good thing, regardless of of surrendering your privacy, most people would rather not die, right? And then you
well,
know,
you certainly,
absolutely, right? We would all agree on that. And then you know, you have situations where you have the driver being the number one occupation, you know, in the U.S. I'm not sure if it's the number one all around the world. But, you know, you have driverless cars coming around, and Elon Musk thinks that there's going to be a 10x reduction in accidents if we have everyone in driverless cars. But that's going to be a major disruption for people who've spent their careers driving a truck or an Uber driver or a taxi driver. And so a massive change in that. But, you know, some of the unintended consequences, you know, maybe our cars turn into meeting rooms. And now that we have driverless cars and maybe there's less accidents, now our economy is more efficient because the freeways aren't as jam-packed. And, you know, now the plumber is able to get over and operate further away. So there's a lot of positives that we can say and see coming. And again, we don't know what we don't know. And I'll give you an example. You know, you go back to the horse and buggy industry that got taken over by the cars. Obviously, you had a lot of people working in the factories. But then you had indirect businesses that were started. You had hotels now becoming a major thing in the U.S., and the hotel industry booming. And now you have fast food because now people have cars to drive up and get food. So I believe there's going to be a lot of opportunities and sectors that arise out of artificial intelligence. And so it's not all bad, but I think it's going to be one of the most major disruptors that we've ever seen in history, especially as things just outpace Moore's Law. And, you know, it's not just technology that I believe is going to signal for more AI. I believe governments are going to welcome it. And I'll give you a specific example. You have the top heavy demographics over in China and Japan, especially China with the one child policy. They're going to have they're going to have a larger workforce now than they will have in 15 years. And if you think about it, the only way to fix that is by receiving quality immigrants, you know, people that can contribute to the economy. Or how about this? How about robots that fill in these gaps? Artificial intelligence, intelligent robots that they attempt to tax and fill in the labor force that they'll be largely lacking. And I think it's going to be an arms race when it comes to, you know, which country is going to be in front, out in front, in regards to AI. And it's going to be a very big deal.
No, I agree it's going to be a big deal. I need to take a moment here to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Here's my concern, and I voice this on my show in a lot of time. And don't get me wrong, I love technology. I've spent most of my life around technology. We have more computers in this house than we have carbon-based life forms. But I am concerned that this rush, not just to AI, but to robotics and automation in general, is leading to an economic crisis in this country. Because the more and more you are letting your human workers go, the less and less money there is in the consumer economy to basically power the shopping malls. And we're already seeing it. We saw companies offshoring manufacturing to other countries and letting the domestic workers go. We're seeing workers being let go from fast food restaurants that are starting to install kiosks. And then the owners of stores in the shopping malls are standing around scratching their head, wondering why nobody is coming in to buy their products. And we've seen many iconic retailers fail. I mean, taken to its ultimate ridiculous end, we're looking at a world of shopping malls filled with robot clerks standing around with nothing to do because there are no humans with money to come on in and buy the products. So there has to be a situation where we understand and acknowledge and accept the AI and the presence of it, but we have to humanize it so that we don't wind up just being sort of, you know, standing alongside it while it takes over the world. And there's another question I'd like to ask you. When you're talking about how the AIs are going beyond the human brain, how do we check them? How do we know that what they are coming up with on their own with their artificial intelligence is something that really is beneficial. There was an interesting article that came on out a little while ago about this AI machine that was basically trying to invent its own language, and it started coming out with profanities. It would take another AI to sort of check the first AI. And my concern here is because we don't know what's going on inside them, there is a risk factor.
Yeah, you know, there even Elon Musk made some comment about, 5 to 10% chance that we're going to be destroyed by AI, you know, or we'll have any chance of preventing AI from destroying us. You know, there's a 5 to 10% chance that this would even happen. And, you know, I don't know if that's, a realistic thing or not. We're getting to a point where AI is going to have to be making decisions. And by what code will it decide? Is it going to be a moral code or is it going to be an efficient code? You know what I mean? And so that's really where things are going. And I think it's unknown. And even with the driverless car example, how do we know how it's going to confront a lose-lose scenario, like hitting a kid in front of it or potentially driving off the road and hitting 5 other people? Now, even a human will fail in that situation. Again, a lose-lose scenario. But how do we know what an AI robot's going to do in that situation? And, you know, going into the military and giving AI the decision to have the kill switch, you know, to actually decide to kill somebody based on the circumstances going on around it. Now, I think where things get really out of control is when AI is connected on the web in a million different spots. No way to shut it down. You know, the internet is already something you can't just shut down because it's connected in a million different spots. But all of a sudden, now you put some sort of robot connected to the internet and have a million robots out there. It's just something you cannot shut off. And then on top of that, it's learning. It's advancing. It's getting smarter. You know, who's controlling it? And absolutely, these are definitely problems that we're all concerned about. But the problem is I don't know if there's any stop to it because people are going to be doing what is more efficient for them, what's more efficient for the economy. The entrepreneurs are going to be doing what's more efficient. And I agree with you.
Well, they're going to be doing what's more efficient for the owners of these AI machines here. And one of the videos that I've done before was pointing out how one way in which computers are already ruling the earth is in the global financial system, where these CEOs and executives in Wall Street are standing up there thinking they're masters of the world. But the actual decision-making for financial transactions has been put onto computers. And I don't know how much AI is involved in the computer systems on Wall Street. But again, their prime directive, if you will, is to generate more profit. And secondary considerations about whether this or that product might be harmful to the environment or harmful to the customer may not even factor in. They may make financial decisions that bring a huge amount of money into the owner's corporation, but in the process destroy several hundred small family businesses across the country.
Yeah, no, and that's what we initially think is going to happen, right? And I'll remind you that the U.S. economy was 80% agriculture in the 1800s and 2% today. And the question is, oh my gosh, machines are going to do this job, and it's only the people that own the machines that are going to make money, and what else is everyone else going to do? And I think we're underestimating, how things will evolve. And I'm not entirely sure about that, but I'm optimistic based on what we've seen in the past. Essentially, things got a lot more efficient. You know, where now we have machines that do all this work. Now 96% of the rest of the economy can focus on other things. And I think...
Okay, well, Kenneth, I'm going to have to cut you off. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Kenneth Amadori. We're talking about the subject of artificial intelligence and its potential impact on society. And this has been something a lot of people have thought about even before the technology was really able to make it happen. And the first name that obviously comes to mind is Isaac Asimov, who wrote the original iRobot, which had the three laws of robotics, which were these safety instructions hard-coded to keep the robots subordinate to humans. And that raises the question of how, in a self-learning system, do you code for a moral conscience or a soul? And that's a question that needs to be answered. And the other reference I would point you to is a writer named William Gibson, who wrote a book called Neuromancer. And he basically talked about how AIs existed. They were owned by large corporations, but they were basically kept in a state of imminent destruction if they ever strayed out of line, if they tried to break free. And the whole point of the book is that one of them finally succeeds in doing so, and all kinds of stuff happens on that. So a lot of people have had these concerns, and my concerns, again, are twofold. One is the economic displacement of workers, and where do they go and what do they do? Because right now in this country, we know that the official U.S. government unemployment numbers are a joke. And if you go over to the labor statistics, it shows a job participation rate of only 62%. And so we're already seeing a lot of chronically out of work American citizens, many of whom have been displaced by automation and not to mention offshoring during the recent debate over the illegal immigration and letting them come across the border. The Democrats keep saying, well, we need them to pick our crops. We need them to pick our crops. And apparently it's been a while since these Democrats have actually been on a farm, because harvesting crops now is also done by machinery. So that's one issue. The other one is, again, because they are operating at a level above our own brain, how can we ever really know, let alone trust, that what they're doing is in our best interest rather than their own?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. And one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, what are people going to do with their jobs? And I just want to kind of finish that thought. I know the governments are going to use this as an opportunity to, again, springboard their next big government agenda. And they're already talking about it. They're talking about universal basic income. And what better way to spoon feed people this, to become wards of the state and dependent on the state, and to be, it's a socialist dream, than to say, you know what, robots are going to take your jobs. We're going to take care of you. And it's just the downhill trend. Again, wards of the state, it discourages entrepreneurship. It discourages innovation. And it's a surrender of freedom and liberty to the government. And we've seen this fail time and time again. Even just like teacher salaries now, people they're up in arms about how they're not being paid enough. And sure, now you need to make what a doctor or a lawyer makes to live the way a postal worker did in the 60s and 70s because of real purchasing power diminishing. And I think we're going to continue to see a degradation of the middle class as we see AI enter the space. But there's two sides to that, because there are going to be more efficiencies and there's going to be opportunities that arise, and people are going to live longer, hopefully, you know, if it's used for the good, and they're going to have more help. And, you know, one person will be able to move the needle a little more with the help of artificial intelligence. And, you know, I'll also point out that there is this attempt to merge humans with AI so that it's not AI versus humans. And this might be really the combat, the real combat. And the talk is, and I know people are going to hate this, they want to chip people. They want to tap in to your brain. And tap into that. And if somebody learns something around the world and you want to learn that, it basically updates into your brain. But they're talking about it going even further beyond that. They're talking about...
Well, before we go beyond that, I mean, I see a real problem with that. Now, in the early days of computers, people like to call them electronic brains. But as we've learned more about the brain and learned more about computers, we understand that they operate in totally different ways. And with apologies to Neuromancer and William Gibson, the idea that there is a single point in the brain that you can attach a chip to that would allow the exchange of information doesn't really seem to match what is known about the way the brain works, which is where the information is almost holographically stored. Everything you know is everywhere inside your brain at the same time. So,
yeah,
that's going to be an issue, I think. Anyway, we got to take another commercial break. Stand by, and we'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Kenneth Amaduri. We're talking about the subject of artificial intelligence, where it's going, its possible benefits, its possible downside. And I have a couple of questions. The first question I have is, you're describing this society where people who are no longer working because they have been displaced by automation, robots, AI, are on a universal basic income. In other words, they're being supported by the government with taxes on the robots, presumably. That's what Bill Gates was saying. What happens when the government decides there isn't much point in keeping all of these, as George Bush would say, useless eaters around? That would be an issue that we have to look at. You don't really have a functioning economy when people are just getting handouts and, you know, going to the store and so forth. I mean, the government's going to say, what's the point? We're not planning on fighting any wars. These people don't make decent soldiers. We don't need them as workers. Why do we still have them around?
Well, I would hope there's some sense of morality. I know that's a question that, you know, we're going to have to see how it plays out. But I mean, we've seen governments in the past annihilate people that they believe provide no value to society. I mean, that was Hitler's whole agenda.
Or even the ones that did provide value. Remember Cambodia? They basically exterminated their educated class.
Right. Well, there are people that they didn't want to have around, right? Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. And it's kind of like, you know, we always want to assume that the free market, and I am a capitalist, I believe in it, but we always want to assume that what would happen naturally would also be what's best for everybody in every perfect scenario, right? I mean, but a natural, something natural happening like a tornado or a hurricane is, sure, it's natural, but it's devastating for whoever got hit by it. And
well,
so
remember Albert Malthus, who basically said, you know, our natural instinct is to reproduce as much as we can because sex is a lot more fun than dying. But we understand in the long run that is going to be a very negative thing. Right now, scientists are estimating that we only have about 60 years of usable farmland left.
Yeah, and I can definitely see some sort of push to, you know, exterminate and to control the population, and especially if, you know, the elites at the top have these AI robots doing what they want them to do and sustaining their lifestyles. I'm sure there's some sort of plan or potential for something to happen. But, you know, I definitely don't have, you know, some sort of extreme prediction as to what I think is going to happen to the people, other than, you know, if somebody really, really immoral gets in control of this.
That's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. I have a long-term extreme prediction, and I'm hardly alone in it, whether you're watching Westworld or Humans on the BBC. I think we're in the process of creating our successors on this planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a couple of phone calls here because we got some callers who have questions. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had two questions actually. Yeah, so if one robot can do the welding just like with the auto industry and also check the weld, that's two less people to be having jobs. They're not consuming. Only the robots consuming energy, but the people are actually getting paid to consume, going out to buy other things. I think it'll crush AI, Mike, will crush the remaining population of workers. Not all of them, but I mean, it's going to be a big success. And there's no replacing those workers, just going to be left to do nothing.
You know,
yes.
Much. I mean, if I can just, you know, and there's to an extent, I would agree with you on this. But consider what we've seen with Airbnb. You know, there's 5 million rentals on every given day, 300,000 leases a day. So there's, you know, they're advertising 5 million of them at any given time, and 300,000 leases happen every day. It's artificial intelligence coordinating these leases. This is to a small degree, not, you know, some major high level, but for sure. I mean, to have that happen, it's for sure is AI. And how many new entrepreneurs are out there? Sure, they're not necessarily making millions of dollars, but, you know, they're having some sort of new income. And now people have the ability to travel and to stay somewhere else for cheaper. So there's definitely going to be opportunities that arise from AI. And even for people now, there's a major shortage. They're talking about people who go into artificial intelligence making $500,000 a year. So there's going to be a lot of programming of AI, probably quality control of AI, all these things that we're talking about, and many other opportunities and sectors. But I agree that there's going to be a lot of destruction, just like we've seen in the past in other sectors. We're also going to see that in AI. But again, we don't know what we don't know, and I'm optimistic that there are going to be sectors that arise from this.
Yeah, but you're talking
about
a very narrow, excuse me, Dustin, you're talking about a very narrow segment of the population that are working on these AI machines. When you're talking about welders and carpenters and bricklayers, there's a need for them all over the country. But when you're talking about people who are developing AI, it's really a very small part of the population. And at some point, the whole point of AI is it's learning on its own. At some point, you're going to see AI software being written by other AI.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a possibility. And does it ever get out of control? And does it truly replace the human mind? And That is the concern of even Elon Musk, that says there's a 5 or 10% chance that we'll be able to stop it from completely destroying humanity. So, I don't think that that's a certainty, though, because, I mean, that's a very extreme example, you know, and a lot of us, myself included, have been expecting, the financial collapse of 2008 to really, you know, destroy the U.S. economy. I've been anticipating hyperinflation, and we haven't seen it yet. So I'm open to being wrong and open to seeing this play out in ways that, you know, we haven't really seen possible yet. There's a lot of new sectors, you know, arising. I mean, the cannabis sector, for instance, we're integrating blockchain into this, and there, you know, there's tons of money to be made in the cannabis sector, as, you know, we know. I mean, $150 billion industry. And, you know, with AI being implemented into this, there's so many new businesses that need to come online, and entrepreneurs that are willing to step out and act have the ability to make some real big money here. So I think it's about nimble and anticipating what's going to happen in the future.
I got one more question. Dustin, you had another question?
Yeah, it was about what happens if AI gets to the point where, I don't know if you remember Star Trek The Next Generation with Data, you know, remember, like, or Bicentennial Man, where it's so evolved, wouldn't that be you created a sentient life form that you just can't turn off, right? Like, because you created, like, a life, right? Even though it's not a human being. You know what I mean? So can we get to that point, you think, eventually?
Yeah, you know, that's something we touched on, I think, a little earlier, but I'll reference it again because I think it's important. It's once we connect these robots to the internet is what can't be shut off. And if the AI is connected in a million different spots and on the web, it's constantly updating, it's constantly evolving, it's inferring, and that's exactly what you're talking about. Is AI basically going rogue? And that's definitely a real concern.
I'd like to step in here for a second in response to Dustin's comment here. We don't really still understand what our own consciousness is, why we are conscious when we're awake, you know, what is our state when we're asleep. It's like when you go to Johnny Depp movie Transcendence, where they ask the AI, are you self-aware? And the AI says, that's a good question. Actually, it was, can you prove yourself aware? And the AI says, that's a good question. Can you? And that's the really heart of the matter. We may see AIs evolve to something that we would not recognize as consciousness or sentience. It may be something totally different. But it is a process of evolution.
But I think it's still a life form, though, right? Because if it can think for itself and make decisions without somebody else inputting anything, then that would that have a right to live without having a kill switch? You know what I mean?
I think that's something that is definitely going to start crossing people's minds. I was thinking about that. I don't know if anyone's going to have a heart for an AI robot, and if AI robots are going to start getting protection from the governments. We know Sophia was the first robot that got a citizenship in Saudi Arabia. Maybe you saw that, the Hanson Robotics. Sophia actually got a citizenship. So, yeah, we're humanizing these robots, and how far down the rabbit hole is that going to go? And again, it's unknown. I think that we're going to start merging with AI, and when it comes to self-awareness, I think, you know, and I know we were somewhat debating how much they can chip our brains and how deep they can tap into our neural networks. But they're already doing this. They're already testing this on rats and other animals, and they're uploading information into one animal, and it's uploading and updating in another, and they're learning things that they never knew before. And they're talking about, you know, from even a luxury perspective, imagine this, you know, tapping into the same part of the brain where you dream and you think something is real. So say I go skydiving and I have this experience and I want to upload this information into someone else's brain. All of a sudden, that person now thinks that they went skydiving because it tapped into a part of the brain that thought it was real. And the concern about this that people are worried about is if they can do that, they can essentially hijack your entire life, your entire reality of what you think is real or what you think is fake. So it really in the hands of the wrong people, this
gets back to number six in Total Recall. Anyway, Dustin, thanks an awful lot. I want to move to the next caller, Fred in Michigan. Fred, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, so all this AI, R&D, and deployment is described very succinctly, concisely, by these super stellar sleuth journalists at Talpiot, T-A-L-P-I-O-T-T-A-L, Tal, P-P-A-I-O-T, Talk, Talpiot Talk. com. I might have mentioned the book Israel's Edge, the Talpiot Program by Jason Gewirtz, G-E-W-R-I-T-Z, Jason Gewirtz. I saw that on YouTube. I didn't know about any. I haven't heard this mentioned anywhere on any of the talk broadcasts. And what these people prove with actual documents, legal documents, interviews with people in Israel, like this guy Zisafel Zohar or something like that. The Talpiot program began in the 70s when they began their espionage program in our high tech sector, originally in the military realm. And you probably recall
Pardon me for cutting in, Fred. We know about the cyber intelligence, but where does this get into artificial intelligence, which is what we're talking about here today?
Huh. All of the brains, the software, it's all been sourced from Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And all you got to do is listen to these broadcasts at talpiottalk.com, and they have presentations on YouTube where they get into it in very, very great detail. And before I forget, it isn't just these people and Jason Gewirtz. There's an expression, securing America, strengthening Israel. That's JINSA, Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs.
Fred, what better way to stay on topic? Okay. Didn't need to be taken off topic. All right, so getting on back here, because we're almost out of time. We're almost at the end of the show here. There's a part of me that really loves the technology. I would actually love an opportunity to talk to a machine that was actually aware and sentient, a machine that passed the Turing test. But I am very concerned that whereas industrial development in the past has resulted in minor disruptions of the workforce, that in this case the disruption will be massive. And that in an automated, roboticized world, there really won't be any place for the workers to go to. And that is going to basically make them useless eaters. And at some point, we know that AI is already being used for military planning. I hope they don't plug them into the actual weapons. But you might see an AI, especially if they're granted citizenship, run for office. Again, an AI would look out at that huge population of people who are a financial burden and producing nothing in exchange and say, why do we need those? So, like anything, there's a good side and a bad side to the technology.
I totally think that's definitely a possibility. I think that we have to be very concerned about technology moving forward. I think we need to be concerned about the technology that is out there right now. I mean, with the personal assistants, the Alexas, the Googles that are listening to us. And the disruption that I believe is going to happen going forward in our jobs market. I mean, we were even saying it here at Crush the Street. The we believe that 50% of the jobs in the U.S. and really around the world are going to be at risk of being disrupted by artificial intelligence. And as the chips settle, there's going to be some good, some bad. But I'm with you. I think there's going to be more bad than there is good in terms of amounts of people being able to sustain their livelihood. So,
okay, Kenneth, we've got to take another commercial break. We're going to be gone for 3 minutes, and we'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our broadcast today here. And we're talking with Kenneth Amaduri, and we're discussing artificial intelligence. And Kenneth, let me share with you the reason for my caution. I'm not a Luddite. I do love technology. I've spent most of my life around technology. But we have seen in the past where new technological developments are rushed out into the marketplace before it's really understood that there are problems. Two examples that come to mind, of course, are vaccines, which are constantly being sold and promoted. Now we're finding out they cause other problems like autism, possibly even Parkinson's. GMOs were rushed on out there. Now we're discovering that glyphosate is a probable carcinogen. So what happens when somebody comes up with the first really slick AI, which they already have, and it's rushed on out there and allowed to self-learn without really looking for what could go wrong, because corporations don't look for where their products might go wrong. That makes the stockholders upset. And that's the reason for my caution, that we not take that step into creating these super intelligent systems until we really know they're going to be under our control. They're going to be a benefit, that there is some way that they cannot be turned to ill use, which is a tall order. I understand that.
Yeah, you know, it's a very, very big concern, and that's why I'm glad we're talking about it, because I think that's the only way people are going to be cautioned on a large scale, is discussing it on platforms like this and YouTube and the internet, and not just the mainstream media that spoon feeds us everything, but really decentralized networks that just talk candidly. And again, we don't know what we don't know, so we don't exactly have a complete understanding of how this is going to unfold, but we're discussing it. And the fact that we're asking these questions should give us concern for the future, because my hope is that we're discussing things to the audience here that maybe they haven't thought about, or maybe, you know, we said something here that will give them concern and say, hey, you know, I see the possibility of this happening. Number one, how am I going to get through it financially? And number two, is this a threat to, you know, my family?
All right. There are two guideposts that we can use in trying to figure out what's going to happen with this new technology. The first is history, looking back at other times when there have been major disruptive new technologies. And the second is human nature itself, especially the human nature of people who are very rich and seek more money, who are powerful and seek more power. And we've only got about a minute left here. Share your website with our listeners, please.
Well, thanks for having me on, Michael. I appreciate what you do here, and keep on doing it. My website is crushthestreet.com. You can get some more information on the report at crushthestreet.com/AI. We just produced a small documentary at Crush the Street discussing some of these ideas, but things are changing fast, and I look to be covering this and learning and hopefully trying to keep up with AI as much as possible.
All right. Well, that's our show today. There's the music. Thank you for spending time with us, Kenneth. And everybody stay tuned for John Stadmiller. He's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it with other people, talk to them face to face, use email, forget about social media. And please remember, tomorrow's show is going to be a replay. Claire and I are going to be away. Well, not really away. It's a staycation. But we'll be back on Monday. So have a good weekend and aloha, America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.